This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by EverBank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, welcome back. Jaguars fall 37-3 on a day that does not have many highlights at all. It was 3-0 at the end of the first quarter, Tony, and then all of a sudden the wheels just came off. Jaguars had a nice stand. It was first and goal for the Colts at the Jaguars' 4-yard line, and they held them to a field goal to tie it at 3. And you thought, all right, now if the offense can just make something happen. And they couldn't. The story today, the quarterback was back, the tight end was back. The tight end was back for a brief moment, and then he was gone. And then the quarterback had two interceptions. One was a pick six in the first half. The third one came late in the ball game and was inconsequential to the outcome. Not to the score. That added a field goal on top of it. But this offense just can't get anything established. Nothing. And so the question is it the problem in the middle of the line?
Well, I don't think it's that easy.
Well,
I know it's not that easy, but
you're wondering.
I think it's a problem everywhere.
All right, well, I mean, that's obvious. I'm trying to dive a little bit deeper.
No, I agree. No, and I'm not trying to be too vague. But
it just didn't seem like they could get any push at all. I mean, and the reason
They don't get any push. They get no movement. And listen, I'm not going to bail out Maurice Jones-Drew either because he doesn't look like the guy that we've seen in the past running the ball.
No, and maybe he's not. I mean, maybe he's not coming back. And then maybe that foot injury was more severe.
And then, listen, you got Cecil Shorts, you're counting on being a number one receiver, and he had a bunch of drops today.
Well, yeah, one of them was an interception on the first offensive drive. Well, but one on the first drive of the game, and then the other was a pick six. Although, when you see the tape, the defensive back grabbed his jersey and pulled him backwards.
But it still hits him in the hands.
Yeah, okay.
Listen, I agree. It was a missed call by the officials, but
guys
have to make plays.
Yeah. And they did not today.
Will Blackman, where are the plays made?
Let's go back to offense. Are there plays to be made in this game today? As you go back, I mean, we're talking about one or two here or there. Is that all?
I mean, I didn't see a bunch. I mean, Cecil makes that catch, start the game off, maybe it's a little different.
You know, and I'll hold out to you that if Jason Babin, we were talking about margin of error before the end of the broadcast there, Jason Babin has his head lined up in the neutral zone on a play in which Will Blackman intercepts Andrew Luck on their side of the 50-yard line early in the ball game. You want to talk about momentum for an offense that its mantra was start fast, don't put yourself in the hole, and that penalty just threw it off from the very early
goal. Yeah, they were very sloppy. I mean, and they were mental errors more than anything, mental mistakes, lining up offsides. I mean, come on.
He had three of those today.
I mean, you just can't do it. And it results in big losses and big plays being taken back, and we saw that with the interception. Maybe that changes. I mean, listen, the outcome is the outcome, and I'm not sure. I'm not saying the Jaguars would have won the game, but with a young team, with a young team that is looking to believe, they're looking for something positive. They're looking for something that will give them confidence. And when you take it away early in the game, I mean, come on, you make it tough.
All right, well, we'll give
you don't
the
do
numbers.
Yourself any favors.
Jaguars finished with 205 yards of offense. They started the fourth quarter with 67. They had minus 2 yards in the third quarter. They finished with 205. The passing game, Gabbert, 17 of 32 for 179. He had three interceptions, and his passer rating is 30.6. The leading receiver on the day ends up being Cecil Shorts with 7 for 61. Ace Sanders had 4 for 59. Clay Harbor had 2 for 39, including a 31-yarder that set up the Jaguars. It helped him move down the field and set up first and goal. In the fourth quarter, the outcome, again, wouldn't have been changed. But the Jaguars turn it over on downs, can't even crack the end zone. Maurice Jones-Drew had 1 for 5. From that point on, it's a collection. The rushing game, only 40 yards today. Maurice only carried the ball 13 times for 23 yards, 1.8 per carry average. And from that point,
you never see when Maurice had the carries that anything was any sense that he was getting ready to break one. I mean, there's nothing there.
There were some creases where before you would think, well, all right, Maurice hits that one, but he didn't today. And, again, you can't tell until you watch the tape, which I know you'll do before our radio program tomorrow. Jaguars were penalized 9 times for 65 yards on the day, turned the ball over 3 times. Meanwhile, the Colts rolled up 437 yards of offense, 283 from the passing game. You look at Andrew Luck's numbers, 22 of 36 for 260, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. His passer rating 90.0. So a typical day for Andrew Luck. That's about where it flows for him. His leading receiver, Reggie Wayne, 5 for 100 and a touchdown. What else is new? I mean, he has 138 career catches now against the Jaguars. Kobe Fleener is tight end, 5 for 77 and a score. Yeah. Yeah, he was wide open in many cases. T.Y. Hilton had 5 for 48. Darius Heyward-Bey, 3 for 33. Leading rusher, Donald Brown, 3 for 65.
Good yards per carry.
21.7. He had a 50-yard run. Trent Richardson, 20 for 60, 3.0 per carry. He did have one touchdown. Luck scrambled twice for 26 yards, had a 17-yarder in the first half, end of the first quarter there. The Colts had 2 turnovers and 7 penalties, but they're a team that can afford to get away with it because they have more talent across their line.
Well said. I mean, right now you look at this team and you got to find a way to get production on offense. You talk about struggling to win games. Right now it's a struggle to get a first down. I mean, in the start of the fourth quarter, we had a total of 5 first downs. 3 of them were on penalties.
Well, if people are sitting in their cars right now, they'll pick up the newspaper tomorrow and they'll say, what can you do? Well, there's not much you can do. I mean, help is not on the way from off the street into this roster to try to find a way to make it happen. These guys are going to have to
Have to play better.
Yeah, plain and simple, and you find a way with Justin Blackmon back to move the ball. That should help.
But everyone has to make sure you don't. I mean, Justin Blackmon he's not gonna come the do it savior. Of well, like all of a sudden now it's going to be
No, but you get my point. I mean, although without Mercedes now, you don't know what his perspective is. It still leaves you somewhat one-dimensional. And it brings me back to the middle of the offensive line. We spent a lot of time talking over the course of the game about how Eugene is doing on his man and how Jokel is doing on his man. And rarely do we talk about the guards or the center. But if you go back over the first month of the season, boy, there is not any push at all in the middle of that offensive line. And there were a couple of plays today where we were talking about Will Rackley getting beat.
Well, I don't think any of them 5 are playing great right now. I mean, I don't want to give a pass to the 2 tackles.
Well, I don't want to either. I just want to focus on the inside.
And so – but you look at the middle of that offensive line, just not getting much movement, not getting push, not getting anything going, not moving those guys off the ball and creating some different seams or running lanes for the running back to have some confidence to cut it back up the field and get north and south. So when you're going backwards and they're in your chest pushing you back into the backfield and you're not bubbling the defensive line, they're bubbling the offensive line, it makes it very difficult to run the ball.
Jaguars fall to 0-4 on the season. And, you'll read Twitter, you'll see Facebook, you'll – listen to radio this week, and people will just pile on this team. We knew that this was going to be.
Yeah, but we didn't think it was this bad.
And that was where I was headed. We didn't think it would be this much of a struggle every single week. We thought they'd be able to create some things offensively that would maybe compensate for the deficiencies on the defense.
I thought this would be a competitive game today. I mean, I said it. Said it on the shows.
Yeah.
I was telling everybody, this is going to be a competitive game. And it wasn't. And there's no one who makes plays. I mean, Blaine didn't play very well, and guys aren't getting open. And your offensive line doesn't block anybody, and you can't run the ball. I mean, tell me what you're doing well at that point.
Well, forget me telling you. Let's hear from the head coach. Yep. He's in the locker room with Jeff. Jeff.
Thank you, Brian. Gus, obviously not the outcome that you want. The football team looking at it early on. Some mistakes, very costly.
Yeah, this one stings. They all do, but this one right here, because we had opportunity, especially early in the game on defense, had an interception. Penalty called it back. Had another opportunity for an interception. Missed an opportunity here or there. I think there was 4 or 5. And, we got to be more disciplined on our drops and take advantage of those opportunities. Offensively, again, we never got that rhythm going. And that's what's frustrating. And I'm sure there's a combination of efforts, but I believe our players want to. We just, as coaches, have to teach them how to.
What's it going to take, especially for the offense, to turn that corner to eliminate the mistakes or costly mistakes that certainly dictated the outcome?
Well, because it felt like that. I'm with you. It felt like defensively, initially, we were playing well enough, got a turnover, and then we only got 3 points off it. So we're getting opportunities, but offensively, hopefully we get some rhythm going and, get some consistent players in there that the quarterback has a rhythm with. The offensive line feels it, running backs. But I really think we really need to take a hard look at it. And I think, we have to be stubborn in our culture or stubborn in our beliefs, but I think we also have to have some flexibility. And we can't bang our head in the ground, in the wall. Our goal is to maximize every player. And if we're not doing that, we got to relook at some things.
Mercedes Lewis, expected to have him, plays the first series, and at the beginning of the second series is on the bike, not available. You're also without Justin Blackman. How much does that hurt, not having guys maybe that you expected to have, to where you can get everybody kind of on the same page?
Well, you know, you always would like to have them, but like I said, this one stings, and we knew we may not have those guys fully. And, you know, it's the next guy's got to step up. And regardless if you're on practice squad or a free agent, you're in the NFL now. And, you know, guys got to get used to playing at that high level and understand what it takes to play at that high level.
Mercedes didn't return. Any other injuries to report?
Not that I've heard of. I know Alan Ball initially, but I think he came back. I think he's fine. So hopefully our health, we came back out of this in pretty good health.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that's the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Not a lot of good to talk about. You know, the last three losses, Coach Bradley was talking about what he saw out there that was good. You didn't hear any of that. We'll continue our conversation from up here. Jeff Loggeman's in the locker room. And, of course, J.P. Shadrick and Marco Coleman are standing by when we wrap it up from here. 37-3, the final. Colts win it. And our postgame continues after this on Jaguars Radio. A Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Brian Sexton, Tony Buscelli in the broadcast booth. Jags fall 37-3 today at Everbank Field. Jeff Loggeman's in the locker room with center Brad Meester. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. Brad, how frustrating is this? You come home, first division game, you end up 0-4, and the offense just still struggling.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I mean, obviously, you know, we've been doing some real good things. I thought, you know, each week had been getting better and better. We just weren't able to put it together quite like the way we wanted to today. We gotta be able to move the ball better on offense. We really do, and it always starts up front. I mean, that's where everything starts, is the offensive line.
When you look at the game, though, early on, some of the costly mistakes, whether it been, you know, a drop ball that turns into an interception or a costly penalty, I mean, do you look at those things and say, hey, look, those are correctable things, or do you just get kind of inundated with the big picture?
You know, the hard part is in so many of those plays, it's like one thing here, one thing there that, you know, causes a play not to go wrong. What we've got to do is just come over those overcome those little things. You know, we've got to start putting some series together, you know, get first down, keep moving the chains, and get some points on the board.
A lot of locker rooms, you may have the finger pointing back and forth, you know, the defense pointing to the offense. Is there any of that?
Not one bit. Not in this locker room. This is the amazing thing about this group, and this is what I love about this group, is how close we are. Nobody's going to point a finger at anybody. We're just going to look at each other and, you know, challenge each other and find a way that, how are we going to get better this week? You know, we can't let this happen again. And how are we going to get better this week, and so we can go out there next week and do better than we did today?
All right. Thank you, Brad.
All right. Thank you.
That's Brad Meester with Jeff Loggeman. Time to name our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP. That player will receive the official watch of the Jaguars. You can pick up yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers here in Jacksonville. And I know what you're thinking. Was there an MVP today when you get beat 37-3? Who is it? Is it Josh Scobie? But Logs, I think it's Will Blackman, don't you? Three tackles, four passes defensed, an interception, and a forced fumble, no matter what the officials put on the scorecard.
Right, and then also he had an interception taken away early on with the penalty on Babin lining up offsides. You know, great effort by him, and a guy that this first time in his career with multiple starts, and I think he's coming up and helping make him, being a positive for the defense.
You agree with that?
Yeah, I do.
He's a guy that the Jaguars signed.
I think he's
late.
A guy, I love the signing. You know, they originally got him because they had the problems catching the punts, and they didn't want A. Sanders back there, and so he came in and to shore them up in that area. I'm not sure they ever planned on him being a major contributor on the defensive side of the ball, but when Grotz gets hurt, he steps in, and he has done an outstanding job. Hats off to him. He's taking the most of his opportunity. He's competing, and he's earned himself a job.
You know, Loggy, we're talking up here about what the Jaguars can do to get better. I mean, help is not on the way. It's not coming this year. It's not coming off the street. You know, perhaps a Justin Blackman, if they get Mercedes back healthy. Some of those guys returning from being injured will help. But help is not coming outside of this locker room. So where can they get better, turn it around, be more productive? You know, just quick analysis.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, you got to eliminate the mistakes. I mean, that's not that hard to do. And you just get, if you get consistent at eliminating those mistakes, then you have an opportunity to put something together to get a little bit of rhythm. But you know, one thing that's got to happen, they got to get some consistency in the lineup. You know, the quarterback is different today. You thought you were going to have a tight end, you didn't have him. Next week, you're going to have Justin Blackman. You got to have some consistency to get better. I'm a big believer in that. Offense is all about rhythm, consistency, and also the timing. I mean, it's a timing side of the ball, and right now they just don't have any of that.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Jaguars All Access tomorrow night for those of you in Jacksonville on CBS 47 at 7 o'clock. Time for our Bud Light play of the game brought to you by Bud Light. Obviously, there weren't a whole lot of choices. Will Blackman stepped in front of an Andrew Luck pass on the Colts' first drive and made the interception at the 44-yard line, but Jason Babin was offsides. Jaguars do get the Colts off the field, get the ball back. Blaine Gabbert makes a beautiful throw on third down, and then next play goes down the field. The pass is intercepted, and so the Colts come back with the ball at their own 32, and Will Blackman gave us our perhaps only candidate for the Bud Light play of the game. Here it is. Luck takes the snap. Here comes pressure up the middle. Luck turns and throws in this one. It's intercepted! Blackman's got it. He stepped right into the ball at the 41-yard line. Scores 0-0 at that point. Jaguars go down the field. You heard Coach Bradley say they had to settle for a field goal. They did. It's 3-0. It was that way at the end of the first quarter. And you felt better about the team. You didn't feel all that good, Tony, because at that point, at the end of the first quarter, you realized they still were going to struggle to move the ball. But at least here they were against a 2-1 Colts team that most people are celebrating as a contender, and they were able to, at the end of the first quarter, you know, quit themselves pretty well. It all fell apart in the second with turnovers, pick six, penalties, the whole 9 yards. But at that moment, you thought, okay, well, maybe this is the week they get a fast start.
Well, and the problem was, even up 3-0, which was nice, better than being behind, the offense hadn't shown anything. And so, and until it does, it's going to be hard. This defense is not good enough. This is not the Ravens of 2000 defense that is just going to carry a team that can't score. I mean, that team member didn't score a touchdown for 5 games, and they won those games because of the unbelievable defense. Well, this is not the case here, and this offense is going to have to find a way to get a rhythm, as Jeff talked about, find a way to figure out what they do well. I'm not sure what it is right now, but they got to figure out what they're best suited for and how they can put their players in the best position to succeed and then call the game that way.
You know, you and I can sit here in Lagerman and a lot of the fans, even the owner and his general manager, and understand what's going on here and how they are working this process this year to improve the roster and start building for the long-term future. But if you're in that locker room, you don't have that luxury. You're not thinking about next year or the year beyond. It's
right
all
now,
right
baby.
Here and right now, and that creates a certain brand of pressure for a young football team with a lot of guys who want to be a part of it.
Well, you used to have, I mean, as a player, you can't worry about anything but next week.
Yeah.
Nothing's guaranteed.
All right.
I mean, from a standpoint of roster spots, but also injuries and everything else, you can't think about, oh, we're building something for the long haul.
Nope.
I'm thinking about playing right now.
All right, well, that'll do it for our broadcast, or at least our portion of the broadcast. I want to thank Brent Martineau for his work from the sidelines. Obviously, he was integral early for us understanding the injury situation with Mercedes Lewis. Our broadcast up here in particular, Scott Kushner, the best engineer in the business, and our executive producer, Joe Fortunato. We're going to send it down. You'll be in the capable hands of J.P. Shadrick and Marco Coleman, and later Jay Gray, Linda Fortunato, Ed, the whole crew. We'll give you the final score for the final time. You may not want to hear it. Here's a five-second pause for you. Okay, hopefully your radio's off if you don't want to hear it. 37-3. Jaguars fall to 0-4. For Tony Buscelli and Brent Martineau and Jeff Lagerman, I'm Brian Sexton. Have a great night, everybody. You've been listening to the Jacksonville Jaguars on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Let's get into the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game, Marco. Number one, a 37-3 final. Positives from this game.
What do you draw? It's tough, especially offensively. What weren't many, but defensively, I have to say the pass rush. You know, in years past, we talked about the pass rush. Here they come in. I thought they had pretty good pressure throughout the game. There's a couple opportunities where they didn't, but coming up with 4 sacks, that's huge. I would also have to say, along with that, is creating opportunity for turnovers. Defensively, they did a lot of good things. I think that would be probably the biggest bright spot, you can say. They got their hands on balls. This young secondary. Now the next phase of it will be now taking advantage of those opportunities with the hands on the ball. So creating opportunities for the turnovers and the pass rush, I would say are some things they can take as positives to build on into next week.
This team is 0-4. They have not done much offensively at all this year in terms of scoring points. But what has this team done well this year?
punting. I mean, how about that third-round pick that they took on that punter? I mean, right now they've had more punts than everyone else. But if you're going to do it a lot, then do it good. They're at the top of the league in that regard. So I would have to say the special teams portion has been an advantage. I like that, you know, Ace Sanders now is back returning the punts. I think they're going to have some opportunities returning the punts also going forward.
Finally, how does this Jaguars team run the ball better? Jones Drew, 23 yards rushing on 13 carries. Gabbert with 10. Todman with 4. Forsett with 3. That's not going to get it done. How do you run the ball better?
Well, you know, no one respects the passing game right now. I mean, they're lining 8 people up in the box, making it extremely difficult to be able to run the ball. But at the same token, Maurice Jones-Drew has had success against 8 men in the box defenses before. So it's got to be a matter of blocking. He misses Greg Jones, not having Mercedes Lewis. Those two guys were key in years past for Maurice getting those positive yards against those 8-man box.
Yep.
So right now, it's got to get some balance. That offense, the passing game is going to have to help open it up for the running game. A lot of times you say that differently, but right now in this situation, until there's some respect in that passing game, 8 men in the box, they can't handle it. It's going to see a continuously tough sledding for the running game.
I remember a 3rd-and-1 earlier in this game. They go with Jones-Drew and can't get anything done. Never see that.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the fullback. I mean, he gets a couple. He's just not as consistent in opening up holes and leading. You know, you figure Greg Jones, you know, he's gone. But you talk about the fullback, and not only does he block, but he also leads the way. He finds the open hole faster. So you got to have a guy that also has some kind of ability to run the ball in that blocking position to lead the runner to daylight. And right now they don't have that. There's a lot of areas that have to be improved personnel-wise for the team.
Those were the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game. A lot of questions still to be answered for this Jaguars team today. They fall to 0-4. The Colts over the Jags 37-3. The Metro PCS Sexton Summary after this on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars Postgame continues right now.
Jaguars Postgame rolls along from the HananiaAutos.com studio inside Everbank Field. Unhappy final today in Week 4. Indy over Jacksonville 37-3. The Jags are 0-4 for the third time in franchise history. They failed to score at least 20 points in one of the first four games, now for the third time ever, 95 and 2011, those other two times, now in 2013 as well. Let's take a look at the Metro PCS Sexton Summary for this game. The highlights, well, it started early for Jacksonville. It was the first drive for the Colts. An interception was overturned. Blackman got his hands on one. Babin, though, offside. That gave the ball back to Indy. They end up punting after 5 plays. The Jaguars on offense went 4 plays, threw an interception as Gabbert tried to throw it up down the sideline. It was intercepted by the Colts. On the ensuing drive, though, the Jags D stood up again. Will Blackman one more time.
Luck takes the snap. Here comes pressure up the middle. Luck turns and throws in this one. It's intercepted! Blackman's got it. He stepped right into the ball at the 41-yard line.
It was his first pick of the day. Second time he got his hands on the ball. The Jaguars on the ensuing drive go 6 yards on 4 plays. 53-yard field goal for Scobie.
Pick up on the way. It is low. It is end over end. And he got it. Josh Scobie just put it in from 53 yards out. And the Jaguars are up 3-0.
3-0 at that point. That would be the high watermark today for the Jags, because on the next drive for the Jaguar offense, a personal foul. There was a substitution penalty. A holding was declined and a false start before they punted away on a 3-and-out. The punt went away. Vinatieri on the next drive for Indy from 22 yards tied the score 3-3.
4-3. The snap, the hold by McAfee, the kick up on the way. And he gets it to tie the ball game with 14:43 to play.
That was early in that second quarter, tied 3-3. Next drive, Jags had the ball. Not for long. Darius Butler takes one to the house on an interception return to make it 10-3.
Play Harbor slides in motion. 4 targets. Gabbert back to throw. With time turns and delivers. And this one is bobbled and intercepted. It's going back the other way, right out of the arms of the intended target, Cecil Short. Touchdown, Colts.
Boy, and that should
Darius
have been
Butler.
Darius Butler, 10-3 Colts. That was 11:48 to play second quarter. Jags would go 3-and-out on the next drive, punt it away. 6 plays, 81 yards. Richardson caps off a drive with under 6 to play with a very short touchdown.
3 tight, I formation. From a yard and a half out, Luck under center, hands it off, and Richardson's looking for room, and he's bouncing around, and he's in. Touchdown, Indianapolis.
17-3 at that point. Jags went 3-and-out with a punt again. Vinatieri, right before halftime, 1:34 to go, makes it 20-3.
2 of 4 from beyond 40. 46 yards away, the snap, the placement, the kick, plenty of distance. He got it.
6 penalties in the game.
That would have been good for 51, too, by the way.
Yeah. 20-3.
20-3 at that point. That was a halftime score. It didn't stop in the second half. Andrew Luck to his college teammate, Kobe Fleener. 31-yard touchdown.
Luck back to throw. Steps up into the pocket, shuffles, turns, and throws. He's got Kobe Fleener, who will take it right to the end zone touchdown.
Busted coverage. Busted coverage. Paul Posluszny and Geno Hayes, the linebackers, looking at each other going, I thought you had him. No, I thought you had him.
Babin had a personal foul on that drive as well. He hit Luck up in the chin. It was 27-3 Indianapolis. Another 3-and-out for the Jaguars. A fumble recovery by the Jags. Richardson let the ball loose on the sideline. It was overturned because of a whistle. So the play did not even happen. They played the down over. The drive would continue. Andrew Luck finished off the drive with a 5-yard touchdown to the old foe, Reggie Wayne.
Empty backfield. Watch Luck. He had a 17-yard scramble in the first half. He'll take the snap, drop to throw. Step, turn, throw, touchdown. Reggie Wayne.
12 plays, 77-yard drive for the Colts, 34-3. Through three quarters, Vinatieri had a late field goal in the fourth. 37-3 was the final score. And that's how it happened today at Everbank Field. That was the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. When we come back, Marco Coleman joins us. We'll take a look at the highs and the lows for the game for the Jaguars. 37-3, Indy now 3-1. The Jags are 0-4. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. Final score from Everbank Field. Colts over the Jaguars 37-3. J.P. Shadrick in the Jaguars postgame with Marco Coleman. And, Marco, let's start with the positive from the game today. Will Blackman had a game today, the seventh-year veteran cornerback. Punt returner didn't do any of that today, but he was on the defensive side, had the pick that was overturned on the first drive of the game because of the penalty. Mm-hmm. He had a pick on the next drive. He had a forced fumble that was overturned. A handful of tackles today. He was all over the ball.
He did a good job. I think defensively in that secondary, they had themselves in really good positions a lot of times. It's more so, I think, with those young guys, specifically the safeties, that they'll have to see a lot more. You know, different routes, they're getting better and better. And they put themselves in positions to get their hands on balls. A lot of opportunities to get turnovers today for that defense. I guess the next level will be taking advantage of them and taking it when Andrew Luck was trying to give them the ball on several occasions.
That's right. Yeah, bottom line, they didn't make a lot of those plays.
Just didn't make a lot of them. That would be the negative, but they were in position to make plays, but we can't say that was the case last week.
On the negative side for the Jags today, Jason Babin had a tough day. A couple of offsides, lining up offsides in key situations. Had the personal foul on Luck, got him right in the chin on a play down the field. And it just keeps popping up with Babin.
This is beginning to be a trend. You know, you can't have those type of mental errors by your veteran. You know, he's supposed to be a leader on his team. 6 penalties by himself over the course of the last 3 games. Not only does he get penalties, he gets them at a time that they don't need them. Stopping drives. Helping the offense continue a drive. Negated an interception today. These type of plays, he's got to be a lot more smarter. And it's not just today. Last week he had 2 with penalties. The week before. So something's got to give. I'm not sure what the coaching staff type of decisions, but as a young team that's trying to grow, You know, you can't have a guy out there, especially a veteran, someone you're looking to have to set an example to continue to have these type of mental errors that are really detrimental to the team's success.
Let's talk offense for a moment. Cecil Shorts the third today, targeted 12 times, 7 receptions, 61 yards, an average of 8.7 per catch. But some key drops in this game. The one that was intercepted and taken back was in his hands or close to it. There was one in the end zone. It was a tough leaping grab, but it did hit his hand, unable to bring it in. But he's the only option on the field. It's tough to call on him all the time and expect him to stand up all the time, right?
Yeah, I think we've all kind of pushed him into a position that really I don't think he's that guy. Blackman is that guy of being the face and the playmaker for this team. He does a good job getting open and making those catches when they hit him right in the chest. We've seen a continuous trend with him is trying to make the difficult catch, you know, and against when he's really heavily defended. When he has to fight to hold on to the ball with a defender, he's continuously not making those catches. Now, the drops today were very uncharacteristic of him. So, I mean, it was a bad day for him. But at the same time, there are aspects of his game that he needs someone else to complement that. And like I said, getting Blackman back, he's a player, the tough wide receiver for the tough yards. You know, that's going to be necessary to bail out the quarterback, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and that'll happen next week at St. Louis for the Jaguars. Justin Blackman will be back in the lineup.
I guess I'm going to have to, you know, with the two Blackmans out there, I can't just say Blackman anymore. You got a J. Blackman and
W. Blackman.
And W. Blackman.
That's right. That'll be next week at the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis.
There we go.
The Jags and the Rams.
The Blackmans.
We'll come back in just a moment and take a look at some stats from this ball game. Break down the Jaguars' side of it. Not pretty today. A tough one. 37-3. The Colts over the Jaguars in week 4. The Jags are 0-4. The Colts are in command of first place at 3-1. More after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Gate. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today on your way home from Everbank Field. Final score from Everbank today. The Colts 37, the Jaguars 3. J.P. Shadrick with you. Marco Coleman alongside. Marco, let's go through some of these stats today. We start individually. On the rushing side, another tough day sledding on the ground. 18 carries for the team today. 40 yards on the ground. 23 of those from Maurice Jones-Drew. Gabbert had 10 scrambling. Todman, 4. Forsett had 1 carry for 3 yards. We talked about it earlier. Well, that's not going to get it done.
Not at all. I mean, the team is just going to have to figure out a way to get the rush going against the eight-man front. And I can say that Maurice Jones-Drew has been able to get that accomplished, you know, but you have a couple of key pegs that are missing, and that's having a very, very good fullback and a very good blocking tight end. Those two keys. Now, they've been removed from Maurice Jones-Drew, right. And I think that is a big reason why. You know, with that eight-man front. Because the teams are coming to the game saying, we stop Maurice Jones-Drew, put the game in the hands of the quarterbacks, we're going to win the game. And you see that it has been happening. And they haven't been able to get anything out of the running game all season. It's going to have to be something. The passing game is going to have to pick it up.
Sure.
I mean, normally you talk about offense just off of the play, off of the run. So you can get your play action and things going. But until they get some more people respect that passing game, eight-man fronts, throw the ball if you want to. We're not worried about it. It's going to be an issue.
Blaine Gabbert, speaking of the passing game today, 17 of 32 passing, 179 yards, no touchdowns, 3 interceptions, sacked 4 times for 14 yards of loss, a rating of 30.6 today for Blaine and his return to the lineup since week 1. You know, early in the game, the story pregame was they wanted him to be aggressive. Don't be scared to throw the ball down the field. Throw into some coverage if you need to get it in a tight spot. And there were a couple of receptions today early that were very strong in tight windows. But those picks come in those type of situations. But overall today, not a great day for Blaine.
I mean, I think the theme should be smart. Get in control of the offense. Not be aggressive and make mistakes and not give a dang about making a mistake. Be smart. Play a smarter game. Get in control. We haven't seen Blaine play comfortably since that third game of the preseason. I think that's when it was. Yeah,
it was the Jets game.
Yeah, when he was very, very comfortable, very in command of the offense, directing things that were going on. He looked like a guy that didn't know what he was doing at times. You know, holding the ball entirely too long. Some of those sacks was his fault. Holding the ball too long, not being able to make a decision very quickly, not handling the blitz properly. You see, guys, where are you going to go with the ball? Not making good decisions. It was just poor decisions and then and a few bad throws that also resulted in some of the in those turnovers. So, you know, Blaine definitely with a 30% passer rating, it's pretty bad. You know, it is bad right now. It's got to step up and get control of offense. I mean, throw out having fun, in my view. Play a good, solid game and lead the offense. I don't care if you have a good time or not. Lead the offense.
Let's talk receiving now. Cecil Shorts, the third today, targeted 12 times, 7 receptions, 61 yards, 8.7 per reception. A. Sanders, 4 catches, 59 yards. Some of those lady had that long 27-yard reception to get him down to the 5. They couldn't score. Harbor, 2 for 39. Forsett, 2 for 10. Ebert had one. Jones-Drew had one today. Can't rely on Shorts all the time. Some other guys have to step up, but when your other receivers entering the game have a combined 11 catches in the league ever, that's kind of the result you expect.
Well, you know, but even with Cecil being that guy, he's got to make the catches that he's got to make. I mean, he dropped into some drop balls today. They had a touchdown that he didn't make a catch that was a very capable catch. Again, I'll say that I think he's a victim of us putting him in a position to be, you know, somewhat bigger than what he may be. And I think we're seeing what he is. He's a complimentary player to the offense, not the guy. You got to get somebody else. More weapons will definitely help Blaine in trying to get more things done. He needs some more guys to step up.
Some team stats today. These aren't pretty either. First downs, Colts had 26, Jags with 14 today. Third downs for the Jags, 2 for 11. That's 18%. 205 yards of offense today for the Jaguars compared to 437 for the Colts today. Andrew Luck, 283 yards passing in this game for Indianapolis. And Reggie Wayne had quite a day today, too. 5 receptions, 100 yards. And there was that touchdown catch of 5 yards that put him right at 100 for the day. And, boy, this Indy team, they're poised and ready for a good year.
Yeah, they are. They have really good offense. But even defensively, they had opportunities. Getting their hands on balls. Early in that game, Andrew Luck did not look good.
You're right.
He was throwing the ball in positions to where there were some opportunities to get more turnovers than what the Jags were able to get. The Jags defensively can stop the big plays, the 50-yard run, the 20-yard catch, almost 30-yard catch by Reggie Wayne. Those are the plays that set up the opportunities for the Colts to get those scores. And then also, you can't have someone you're leaning on as a veteran on your defense to continuously sabotage what you're trying to get done. You had an interception, you know, jumps off sides. You stop the team. Well, they get a big pass play, then get 15 tacked on, put them in position, then they go and score on a roughing the passer. You can't drive with your head. You've been playing long enough to know you can't run your head into the quarterback. You already threw the ball. Terrible mistake. I mean, the mental errors by Babin. I'm a defensive end.
There you are.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean,
how many penalties did you have in a game?
Not many. I definitely didn't have two because the teams that I play for, get two penalties, you're coming out of the – you're not going to play anymore, and especially the ones that he's getting. He was hurting the team. Now you jump off sides. That's going to happen trying to get – he lines up off sides continuously. And I think the referees were being nice to him, and several of them they didn't even call. You can watch the game on television. His hand and head is on the blue line that marks the ball all game long. You know, and then playing that position, the referees come to you the first time you line up offsides and say, hey, 58, you're lining up offsides. Okay, thanks. So here you've been warned and you still go out there and do it. And not just in one game. You've done that last week and the week before. Mental errors, man. You can't have that guy out there doing it. I think the big decision has to be made on that coaching staff as you want to continue to have this guy out there and sabotaging what's going on. I really do need to give some consideration to that.
37-3, the final score. The Colts over the Jaguars. Will come back with a look around the National Football League. There were some really tight games early today in the league, including the game at Wembley Stadium in London. We'll get you caught up on that one. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Geico has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much Geico's military discounts could save you. Go to geico.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local Geico agent today. Final score at Everbank Field in Week 4, the Colts 37, the Jaguars 3. The Jags are 0-4 for the third time in franchise history. Indianapolis in command early in this season in the AFC South. They're 3-1 now with the victory. Let's look around the National Football League. Games active now. Late second quarter, Titans over the Jets, 17-3, and the Titans are trying to go 3-1 and get tied atop the division. Early second quarter in Denver, the Broncos lead the Eagles 14-6. Manning has a touchdown. He's 5 of 9 passing so far early. Early second quarter in Oakland, the Raiders over the Redskins, 14-3. Flynn makes the start today for Oakland. Pryor has the head injuries, 5 of 7, 68 yards and a touchdown for Flynn. Early second quarter in San Diego, the Chargers and the Cowboys tied at 7. Games final earlier today. The Bills hang on late against the Ravens. They beat them 23-20 in Buffalo. 5 interceptions for Flacco today in the loss. The Browns beat the Bengals 17-6. The Browns are 2-2 now after the win over the in-state rival. The Lions all over the Bears today, but the Bears did have a late rally. 16 fourth-quarter points. It fell 8 points short. 40-32 the final score. In that one in Detroit. So the Lions are now 3-1. The Bears get their first loss of the season. At Arrowhead today, the Chiefs improved to 4-0. The Giants fall to 0-4. All Chiefs all day, 31-7, the win over the New York Giants. In London today at Wembley in northwest London, the Vikings held on late against the Steelers, 34-27. Steelers had the ball with less than a minute to play inside the 10, couldn't score. 34-27, Vikes get the win. Their first of the season. The Steelers are now 0-4. In Tampa today, the Cardinals with 13 fourth-quarter points. They come from behind and beat the Bucs 13-10. It was 10-0 through three quarters in that game. And a final in overtime in Houston. The Seahawks come away now 4-0 with an overtime field goal. They go late into overtime, but it's 23-20. The win over the Texans. Houston now 2-2, and with Indy's win today, the Texans are down a game in the division. The Seahawks 4-0 and a very, very good football team. They trailed 20-3 at halftime and rallied for the win today. That's a look around the National Football League. One game tonight, Patriots-Falcons at the Georgia Dome. When we come back, final segment of Jaguars postgame. Marco Coleman rejoins us for the last time. Again, the final score, Colts 37, Jaguars 3. Final segment after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of Jaguars postgame brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. Final score in Week 4 of the National Football League from Everbank Field. The Colts over the Jaguars 37-3. Final segment, J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. Marco, 37-3. Frustrating. Jags had a nice first quarter today. It just all went away in the second quarter, and they couldn't find anything.
Yeah, I think this is probably more the most frustrating loss of the four. I think there were opportunities, and then you look at the mistakes that were made. They were mental errors, things that were uncharacteristic of players, and you know, like with Shorts dropping some balls that he dropped. You know, knowing that you had opportunities makes it even more frustrating. They could have put themselves in a position to make it a more competitive game, I believe.
Next week, the Jaguars back on the road for two straight weeks, in fact, at St. Louis this coming week and then at Denver. Denver's playing now, of course. The Rams played on Thursday. They lost to the 49ers 35-11, but the Rams 1-3. You got to go into St. Louis and somehow get something going now.
Well, you know, it's going to start. It's going to start with getting rid of the mental errors. You can't have the penalties, especially on the road. It's going to be loud. That team in St. Louis is coached by, they have a really good coach that is going to have the team ready to play, and they're going to play hard. So the mental errors, the penalties, you got to get better at that. And taking advantage of the opportunities. You know, a lot of hands on those balls in the air in that young secondary. Now it's time to go ahead and come down with those balls, because I believe Bradford will throw you some interceptions, you know, so you got to take advantage of that. You know, and the entire offense has just got to be better. You know, they can't drop balls. Quarterbacks got to play better, have better awareness, make better decisions. And they got to get some kind of running attack going. They do those things, they'll put themselves in a better position to get a, you know, get something on that win column next week.
And Justin Blackmon will be back and active for the first time next week for the Jaguars as well. Marco, good to see you. Great job today.
Man, you too, JP.
37-3 is the final score today at Everbank Field. Next week, the Jags at the Rams. It'll be a 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll have it for you right here. We'll start at noon on the network with Jaguars pregame. The Senior VP of Communications for the Jags, Dan Edwards. Executive Producer of Jags Radio is Mike Dorwart. Manager of Jags Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tim B., Linda Fortunato, Ed Rocco are the producers. Anchor of Jaguars pregame is Jeremy Ratliff. Jay Gray is the Jaguars pregame reporter. For Marco Coleman, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, and Brian Sexton, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good afternoon. Once again, the final score, Colts 37, Jaguars 3 on the Jaguars Radio Network.